I don't want to know. That's right. That's right. That's all the wolf man. Yeah, yeah, the wolf man. Woohoo! I don't even know what they're singing there, but that's all the wolf man or something like that. I don't know. I have listened to that song about, I think, 18 times, and it's been powering this drive. I mean, just powering me along. I mean, I've been listening to Billboard Top 100 of 1974. And it was a very fitting choice to... I had started out... what was I listening to? Yeah, the Johnstown Flood. It's a David McCullough book. And I've got that one on a CD. And it's very excellent, very interesting book. And started out my trip today, which took me from beginning in New York City. This trip will take me all the way to Park City, Utah, and beyond. In fact, I will end up in the Bay Area of California no later than August 20th, probably quite a bit before August 20th, actually. And so I began the day. It totally ensnarled in, like, ugly, ugly, ugly city traffic. Very bummed out by this. I mean, got across the George Washington Bridge, cross Bronx Expressway, George Washington Bridge, got on the Palisades Parkway and figured, okay, well, this is cool. Palisades Parkway is very pretty and not a whole lot of traffic and, you know, great rest stops, and come across the New York State Thruway. And I said, okay, let's get some miles behind us here. And that was a mistake, getting on the Thruway. I tell you what, that was the total. I'm passing some kind of a prison here. It's got to be. That's got to be a prison. Nice looking one, though. But I'm on, for reference, I'm on New York 28. This runs right straight through the Catskill Mountains. And anyway, I got off the Thruway in New Paltz. But by then, the traffic had opened up and had stopped off at a rest area, which was just, it was like being in Manhattan, basically, and everybody pushing and shoving and complaining and being New Yorkers. This was not a good New York trip for me, I gotta say that. I went apartment shopping in New York, and boy, what an eye-opener experience. And it's gonna, I'm gonna have to approach this one again, because I did not like the experience. They want to, before they show you the apartment, and I had forgotten this, but I have rented apartments before in New York, and they want to know, like, everything about you. They want to know where you work. They want to see your tax returns, your pay stubs. They want to look at your bank account, all this crap. And, you know, first of all, I don't have pay stubs. that's... And, you know, I know better than to say, I don't have pay stubs. Because I know that's not going to go over very well. So I sort of, like, dance around that a little bit and don't, like, answer the question. And the first guy wanted to see a business card. I didn't bring a business card. I didn't bring my tax returns. Didn't bring any of the stuff. And I said, look, I traveled quite a ways to come here to see your apartment. How about you let me look at the apartment? So the guy lets me in, looks at the apartment. And he's telling me all about the high quality of his firm. And this is he's not even the owner of the apartment. He's just a rental agent. And telling me about how all of his places are white glove places and all of their tenants are absolutely most impeccable people. And he's looking at me, and I've got this really creepy feeling about this guy. It's kind of like, you know, he's a New Yorker, right? He's my age, but he's fucking crazy. This guy's just completely Looney Tunes. I mean, he's looking at me like there's like he's trying to dive into my soul, and I'm go, geez Louise, I'm just gonna rent your goddamn apartment, and I'm gonna pay for it, and my money's good. Oh, I'm just coming in front of Bel Air Ski Area right now, which is actually a place we used to go skiing when I was a kid. And, you know, I thought the Catskills, I'll get back to the business about the apartment rental thing in a minute. I always thought the Catskills was a town of Middletown. And I thought the Catskills were these, like, teeny little mountains, but they're not. They're not teeny. They're kind of big, actually. I mean, everything's relative. You know, they're not big like, you know, like Yosemite is big. It's not big like Mount Whitney is big, you know, or Mount McKinley, which I've never been to, or not big like Mount Kilimanjaro or Mount Rainier or anything, but they're big. They're big. They're not like teeny little mountains. It's so pretty. I mean, once you get off the fucking freeways, the thruway or whatever, get away from the snarl and all the rest of that crap. And New York drivers are New York drivers wherever you go. They're New York right here in the middle of nowhere, too. I mean, they drive like New York people drive, you know, and they cut in line the same way when you think, well, it's just the car, you know, the car surrounding people makes them behave a certain way, but no, not true. When you're in line with the New York people, they you just can't leave a gap between yourself and somebody else, because they'll come in and they'll fill it. And the guy will say, you know, well, do you want to make a big stink about this, you know? I suppose you could if you want to, but you like, you know, you don't have to. Well, geez Louise, all that just so like you could cut in line like five places, huh? Right. Wow. That's cool. Well, no, now that you mention it, I'm not going to make a stink. But this, anyway, the landscape here is just so gorgeous. It's every bit as pretty and as sort of nice looking as Western scenery is, and the mountains are just as sort of interesting, I guess. I don't know what's the right way to put that, but it's all so very, like, green. It's very humid, and, you know, and this is middle of the summer, like, right smack in the middle of the summer. It's July, what is today? It's either the 29th or the 30th, I'm not sure. Whatever it is, it's like the very end of July, and August, of course, is just about to begin, and that's right smack in the middle. And I'm on a Vector. I decided, like, get off the freeway and go through, I went through New Paltz, and New Paltz is a place that I actually spent quite a bit of time in the summer of, let me think, probably, it was either the summer of 1973 or 74, which made the music that I chose to listen to, because I knew I was going to do some, like, scenery cruising. And, you know, when you're doing the scenery cruising, listening to a history book is really not the best thing to be doing, because, like, you know what, you're going to space out, and then the whole chapter is going to go by, and you miss the chapter, and sort of the whole story is building around all that. And McCullough's books are great, because they're kind of like, you know, they're stories, and there are people in them, and you know, it's all about the people, basically. He obviously reads all the diaries and news accounts and sort of weaves it together. He makes shit up. I mean, he's got to. You got to go, well, how does he know that this guy said that or had this tone of voice or whatever? I mean, you know, good guess, I guess, you know, but he didn't know that. I mean, and then at times he says, well, I didn't know that, but you know, there are other times when he doesn't say, I didn't know that, that he couldn't possibly have known that, it seems to me. Although, like, what exactly do I know about history, other than I, like, love reading it, but I don't know anything about, like, doing it. Anyway, Catskills are cool. I figure the way to get an apartment in New York is to get, an executive assistant, to get somebody who, like, works for, you know, really busy people, which I'm not really that busy, but I just can't, I have no, like, stomach for this. And then have them go, well, you know, Mr. Weiner's not going to let you see his pay stubs. Instead of me having to say, you know, I'm not going to let you see my pay stubs. It's a little difference, okay? It's like, I think I need an agent in a lot of things that I do. Like, for example, speaking at conferences. I got invited to speak at a conference, which is actually, I think, Monday, and I'm not going because, and you know, when I got invited, it was a person who I wanted to do a favor for. I wanted to, you know, not do a favor, that's not the right way. I wanted to say yes, okay? Just for whatever reason, I wanted to say yes. So I said, okay, well, here's the deal. If they cover my expenses, I will come and give a talk at the conference. I'm not asking for a fee to speak, but I want my expenses covered because this is something I've learned since now I've run three conferences myself, is that people generally expect to have, if they're coming to speak at a conference, they generally expect to have their expenses covered. And you know what? It's a pretty reasonable thing. The economics kind of work. I mean, you're using this person's name to get people to come who are going to pay you money to come to the conference, and it really doesn't cost very much, and it wasn't going to cost them very much because the conference was in, like, Cape Cod, you know, when I was in New York. So, geez, how much money does it cost to get a guy from New York to Cape Cod, you know? I can't imagine they were going to charge me for my hotel room or whatever. And so I get on the phone, talk with the conference guy, you know. I knew that I was in trouble all immediately because, you know, the guy had sent me an email, and the email had said, basically, well, we have no money. We are on a very tight budget. And it was had been CC'd to about 18 other people, and I didn't know whether that was, like, meant for me to hear that, and that this was my answer. But I had made it really clear that if they weren't covering the expenses, I wasn't gonna pay to go to this conference because, frankly, it's not in my area. It's just not my thing. It's not my business. I don't have a business reason to go to this conference, and it money and business, like, that's the same thing, you know? I mean, I'll spend money for pleasure, right? But I would never spend it to go to this conference. I was only doing it because I wanted to say yes to this particular person. So get on the phone talking with the guy, and he says the same thing. He says, well, we don't have the money. I said, well, you're negotiating with me. So why don't we just skip the negotiation and let's just make the arrangements? And he gets all huffy and puffy and says, I'm not negotiating. I said, good. Well, let's not negotiate then. And I said, great. So now you're going to cover the expenses. And he says the same damn thing again. Well, you know, we're really tight on money. So I go, well, what the hell does that mean? And, you know, said, if you say that again, then I'm just going to hang up and I'm not going to come. And he says it again. So I hang up. And I sent an email to my friend, and I said, I will work with you, and that's it. I will not talk to anybody else about this conference. If you can manage to get me the money to come to this conference, great, I will come. If not, I won't. And I got an email back from my friend a couple hours later saying, well, you know, probably you shouldn't come to the conference. So, you know, and the thing is, now, how did I get started on this? So there's a reason for it. It wasn't just like, you know, poor me. Because, frankly, you know, it's not poor me. I, you know, probably didn't even really want to go to the damn conference anyway. But, I didn't, to be honest with you. You know, but I was going to go. But the thing was, I need a front man. I need somebody, a front person. Let's be, like, gender neutral here. Yeah, I need a front person. Somebody who can say, well, you know, you can tell this guy, well, fine, you know, I understand you don't have any money, and that's great, but, you know, Dave's not going to come unless, like, you cover the expenses, and that's just the way it's going to be. And then the guy can say again, well, I have no money, and the guy, then my agent person would say, well, like, between you and me, this ain't going to cost you a whole lot of money, okay? So why don't you, like, just, like, let's just figure out how much money it costs and just pay it, you know? It's the same thing happened with the Syndicate conference. You know, they wanted to see my talk in advance. They wanted, and that, you know, I wasn't gonna, like, give them my talk in advance because, basically, you know, like a lot of other people, I don't do a talk. I don't prepare a talk in advance. I basically, you know, I make some notes. I certainly have some idea what I'm gonna talk about. I try to arrange to have something to say at the moment of that conference, but it's no, you know, I don't write slides or anything like that. I just don't do that, you know. And they wanted to put some constraints on me not putting ads in my talk. And, you know, I wasn't going to put ads in my talk, but I said I was going to put ads in my talk. Why? Because the whole thing was about advertising in RSS feeds. I mean, that was the hot issue at that time, and it was the Syndicate conference. And I wanted people to think about the idea of, well, what if I got up there and I started putting ads in the middle of my talk? And I wanted to understand that that's how I feel about them putting ads in the middle of their RSS feed. It's like, great, you know, pitch me on your ideas, but don't, like, you know, whatever. It's like, I came up with actually what I think is a pretty good analogy for that yesterday. It's like, you know, putting an ad in an RSS feed is kind of like hitching a horse to your horseless carriage. You know, the horse moves a lot faster if you hitch him to a horseless carriage. It's really cool. It's neat. New use of technology. Look at the horse. He's going like twice as fast as the horse goes, you know. Except, unfortunately, the poor horse is going to get exhausted. And if you make the horse do it, the horse is probably like going to die. Not going to be very good for the horse. And it certainly isn't the point of a horseless carriage to be dragging a horse behind it. I mean, it's like, no! It's like doing what a horse does. You know, RSS, I'm really digressing here, but RSS feeds do what advertising does. RSS feed is advertising. It tells everybody about how smart you are. Look, another prison. I mean, it's got to be a prison, is it? No, it's a sewage treatment plant. Oh, I get it. They've got the Margaretville sewage treatment plant. You can look it up. Maybe they have a picture of it on Google or Virtual Earth on MSN or whatever. I think that they have the big barbed wire there because they don't want terrorists to come in there and, like, blow up all this shit. That other one I thought it was like, wow, that's a nice looking prison. Really nice looking prison. Like, you can't imagine that the prisoners would keep it that nice, you know. Boy, this is like, I haven't done a morning coffee. This is, by the way, I should say, morning coffee notes. And the song that I played at the beginning was an ad too. It was from 1974, and like if you're like any younger than I am, you probably have no idea who Wolfman Jack was. Well, because he died shortly after that, maybe like three or five years, I think, after his, he became like usually popular, famous sort of icon because he was a star in the movie. I think it was American Graffiti was the name of it. It was the movie that Ron Howard starred in, and it was the movie that inspired the TV show Happy Days. And Wolfman Jack was a real disc jockey, and I think he was from Texas, and he was a white man. Pretty sure he was white. He talked though like he was like a Louisiana black person, you know, African American probably is the way you're supposed to say that these days. You know, but he had a very soulful way of talking, and you know, he was old. He was a smoker. He was fat. You know, whatever. He died probably heart attack shortly after that. But he wasn't like a famous disc jockey in my generation. He was a famous disc jockey of like the generation before me. So it was like sort of like we were getting turned on to Wolfman Jack just as like he was, his generation was sort of passing on. And the song was just, I thought it was really cool. It was an exploitative thing. I mean, basically, you know, he wasn't making a whole lot of money probably. Even though he had, you know, become sort of this cultural icon. And so they did this song. I don't know who the musicians were. The song had kind of a, like, nice funky beat. And Wolfman Jack did what Wolfman Jack does. He sort of sticks his, like, 2 cents in there. So I thought, well, it'd just be kind of fun to... First of all, it'd be kind of fun to play the song so that, like, all you kids that have never heard it get to hear it. You know, if you can find a copy, like, please go out and buy a copy of it. You know, make somebody rich, whoever it is that, like, owns that song. And I thought then what I would do is I would do to Wolfman Jack's song what Wolfman Jack did to everybody else's song. You know, he says, like, honey, you got the curves, I got the angles, or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, I, well, threw a little bit of, like, my own 2 cents in there, right alongside old Wolfman Jack, and so that was pretty cool. And so, you know what, we're doing a cruising, this is a cruising morning coffee notes. It's not, of course, morning, it's about 4 p.m. Eastern time, and we're doing it on the East Coast. This is the kind of stuff that you'd think, well, you just can't do this shit on the East Coast, but here we are doing it. It's I am doing it, but you're like, you know, you're hanging out with me, right. So another little thing, this was a tip that Doc Searles provided that actually it really worked. I bought one of these Belkin FM transmitter things for my car because the new Toyota Sienna, which I'm driving, the minivan, doesn't have a cassette player. So whereas my previous SUV, my Lexus SUV, had a cassette player, that was how I played music off of my iPod, or then later on my Arcos. You know, basically plug the, you know, the they had, I had an adapter that plugs in where the cassette plugs in, and then that has a mini jack that plugs in turn plugs into the player, and then it, you know, basically looks to the stereo system, car stereo, like it's a cassette. And you know, quality wasn't as good as it would be as if it had, like, just a plain old jack, you know, which is what Philip Greenspun had a post about this, and he's so right. I mean, geez, why don't they just go ahead and put a regular old mini jack right in the dashboard and let me select that as one of the, you know, places where it can get input from, or it could just sense that there's a signal coming in there and just, like, play it, you know. Wouldn't be very, you know, high-tech, and you know it won't be very much longer before every car has that. I believe the Honda Element now does, which is a very nice car, by the way. If you're looking for a modern, you know, interesting sort of tool-around type car, probably not great for really long distances unless you're, like, you know, 20 years old, but a really cool car. People say, well, you know, it looks really weird And, you know, it does look really weird. But when you actually take a look and read the literature on the car, read the reviews, and understand the design of it, you realize that it's form and function. I mean, basically, it has the weird boxy look because it's using that boxy look to give you just a ton of room on the inside, and very useful room. The rear seats fold back so that the whole thing, think of it like a pickup truck. Then you'll understand the design. In fact, it is designed like a pickup truck, and it's rugged. It's not a luxury car, although it's got some really nice, like, luxury features. It's really, you know, they really looked at how young people want to use their cars, and they made some accommodation to it. You know, it's not all the way there. I mean, it's the next generation of these things is going to have Bluetooth, maybe even 802.11, Wi-Fi, so that you can basically tap right into your laptop and play music straight off the laptop. I mean, why not? Give me a break. I mean, why should it be anything more difficult than to just basically point and click and play my music? You know, I've got a laptop right now. My Sony Vaio is sitting on the seat next to me. I'm wearing a headset, talking right into the computer. Yet the car has absolutely no idea that there's a computer here. And how much money would it cost so that the car could become an output device for the computer? Probably not very much. Bluetooth probably would be the ideal technology for it. But, 802.11b is even more ubiquitous. Well, what do I know? Maybe Bluetooth could be made to work perfectly. But, give him a few more years. It's a little, hurry up already. Why is it taking so long? Probably because there's interlocking ownership between the music industry and the car industry. That's probably why. They probably got some nice, they probably did a little bit of, they called up their friends at Sony, Toyota, called up Sony and said, Sony, hey, how do you feel about us putting an MP3 player? Oh, no, don't do that. That would be very bad for Sony Music. Would be really not good for us. Don't do that. Lots of copy protection. DRM, yeah. Or we'll sue you, right? So much for that. Yeah, anyway, another interesting point is this is the part of New York State that Woodstock took place in, where I am right now. Passed by the town of Woodstock, not too far back. Of course, little known fact, Woodstock is not where Woodstock actually happened. It was going to happen in Woodstock, but something happened where they lost their permit or something, and they had to scramble, and they ended up on world-famous Max Yazger had a farm in Bethel, New York, Bethel. And that's where they actually had it. I came also within a couple of miles of a bungalow colony that I went to. When in 1973 or 74, I was doing sound work for some friends of mine who had a rock band, actually folk rock, and they got a summer gig there at this place called the Love Garden in a town called Modena. And we went there and came pretty close to that little town, and also remembered as I drove by that I used to hitch up there every weekend. I had a job in Manhattan, and every weekend I would hitch up there. We'd hang out and they would do a show, and it was really cool. And we'd stop at the Plaza Diner, which is right there on the right off the free New York State Thruway exit in New Paltz. And of course, New Paltz has a Starbucks, so if you want to get online, another idea. God, I thought, well, geez, I can't do a morning coffee notes. I don't have any ideas stacked up. Well, you know what? Turns out I do. What would be really cool would be to start a directory of internet-ready resorts. In other words, resorts that want business from people who are looking to have internet retreats. In other words, I want to go someplace and I want to do a week's worth of work on the OPML editor. And I want to do it in a place where, they got good room service and a nice place to go for hikes and healthy food. I don't want these cheeseburgers. And, what I want is, almost Fat Farm. Hey, fuck it. Give me a fat farm. I'll take it. You know, what I want is I want fish, salmon, and salad for dinner and, you know, some nice eggs. And, you know, what I want is kind of Atkins-like, pretty much, you know, a diabetic diet, something keeps the blood sugar way, 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 way down, and lots of opportunities for exercise, 2,000 calories a day. So you got it all set up. I'm coming into Margaretville and Delhi. This is the this is where I think 28 emerges from the Catskill Mountain Park, and I think we're headed straight into Oneonta. I'm going to have to stop at some point, look at the map, and I have absolutely no idea how long I've been talking. Not really keeping track. I know I've been talking a mile a minute. Anyway, so what I want is I want a directory. I want to start a way for resorts. They don't even have to, forget it. It doesn't have to be a resort. I mean, it just has to be like a nice hotel or a motel, and you know, preferably not too expensive. You know, like, and maybe, you know, maybe they need some business. You know, because you know, when you drive around off the major, you know, roads, you see lots of motels that, you know, have vacancy signs up. They're not showing up on Expedia, so you know they're not getting the business that way. But, boy, wouldn't it be nice if... And, you know, well, we could help you get your Wi-Fi together. We could help you get that going. I mean, you know, it's we could put together a nice little kit for hotels, and all you have to do is arrange for, you know, cable modem or DSL or something like that. And we'll even come out if you let us stay there for a couple of days, and we'll set you up. We'll get you going. You know, you just have to let us stay there for a few days. And, oh, boy, this is like paradise. I just came over a hill. And, I mean, this is like when they do movies about heaven. This is, I think, where they shoot them. Sorry. Really beautiful. I mean, so, and it's very temperate. It's 77 degrees outside. I got my car tells me what the temperature is. I'm headed due west, and I've got my little, you know, GPS system here. Had a really interesting experience there. We're coming to a village now. Boy, this we got off of the. We're not in commercial land anymore. We're at a 30 mile an hour. I hope I'm still on 28. Yeah, I am. The GPS, that's a great thing about GPS, is you just can't get too lost. Except, cool thing happened was I was on Ulster County Road 3, Route 3. It's not on my GPS, so my little cursor was traveling around in empty space on that little screen. I said, that's kind of scary. But I bought a really nice road atlas, a brand new road atlas. I bought it this morning. I said, time to get a new one, see if the road atlas technology has improved, and yes, indeed it has. They don't have Rand McNally Road Atlases anymore at Barnes & Noble, or at least I couldn't find it, and if I can't find it, I think that means they don't have it, because usually they're pretty easy to find, because they're big books, and but this new brand, Road Atlas, I can't really see. Maybe I should just pull over. Probably wouldn't be a bad idea. The town I'm in is called Andes, New York, A-N-D-E-S. Named after, of course, the mountain range in South America. Yeah, I gotta slow down here. Yeah, I'm on headset, so the Andes Hotel, built in 1850. Nice looking place. And let's see what else we got. Cassie's Kitchen. And yeah, so 28 West takes a turn here towards Delhi, which is 11 miles away. And I'm going to take the turn with it. So, here we go. There's the turn. Yep. I don't know if you can hear all that. Little Buddha guy is still here. But he's really, you know, these things don't last forever. I got to tell you that. I probably should get out. Oh, there's a beautiful swimming pool. Looks like a town swimming pool. The Andes Annual Community Day is August 13th. Mark your calendar, everybody. You know, hey, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be something if I have a scripting news reader in Andes? Wouldn't that be something? That would be really cool. You know, and if I did, wow. Now, there you go. Well, of course, this won't get up to the internet until I'm probably going to get this up in Utica. That's probably where I'm going to end up stopping. Because, you know, it's summertime and... You know, I don't have to exercise today because I did my exercise this morning. And on my way out, I stopped off at a kosher deli, and I picked up 2 kosher hot dogs. And I also picked up some of these Atkins peanut butter chocolate things. Oh, I also, hey, check it out. I also got a Coke Zero. So, you know what? If you were reading about this on Scripting News, it was sort of like this big question is, you know, what the fuck is Coke Zero? You know, because they have Diet Coke and they have now Coke Zero. And Coke Zero's big claim to fame. If you read the ads and watch the commercials and look at the label, the big claim to fame is, hey, zero calories. Well, you know what? Diet Coke, that has zero calories too. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is that Coke Zero tastes like Coke Classic. And so, big moment of truth. Ta-da! Open up the... So I saw Coke 1, I guess that's what it's called, and opened it up, took a sip, yep, damn if it doesn't, it's a dead ringer for Coke Classic. I had to look at the label twice to be sure there was no sugar in it. The damn thing is so friggin' sweet. It's just like, God, it tastes just like Coke Classic. Now I don't know. So should I become a Coke 1 drinker, or, you know the danger with this is? You know, I wonder if somebody told them this, is that, you know, I'm about as loyal a Coke, Diet Coke drinker as you can get. It's funny because I was a Diet Pepsi drinker. Really, really loyal Diet Pepsi drinker. Until something really weird happened. I was in the hospital, had my surgery 3 years ago. And my brother came to visit, and he was drinking a Diet Coke. And I said, hey, let me have a taste of that. And I did. I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, you know, what's the deal? He said, well, you know, I drink Diet Coke. That's what I drink. I said, oh, yeah, it actually kind of tastes pretty good. So I switched to Diet Coke. And at the exact same time I switched, he switched to Diet Pepsi. So the number of Diet Coke drinkers and Diet Pepsi drinkers in the world stayed exactly the same. Unless he's switched back now. It's quite possible that I'll have to ask him that. You know, it's possible that he switched back, in which case. But, you know, the problem is now for Coke is now they've, like, confused me. I'm a loyal Diet Coke drinker. I wasn't, even remotely thinking about switching to Diet Pepsi. I certainly never would, you know. Like, I don't like the way Diet Pepsi tastes now. It's really funny. Oh, we're coming into the town of Bovina. Bovina as in bovine. And bovine, of course, means of cows, which, interestingly, happens to be exactly what I have on the... And, you know, the current header graphic on Scripting News is cows. So, there you have it. Something pretty fateful about that, don't you think? Anyway, yeah, it turns out I have a lot to talk about. So, yeah, so, like, what I really want is I want a directory of internet, like, cool internet places I can stay. Internet hotels, you know? Because now I can get an internet connection pretty much, like, any night I want, right? I can stay at a... You know, at a Courtyard by Marriott, or a Hampton Inn, or a Hilton, or, you know, even Ramada Inns have them now. Fuck, Holiday Inn has it. Although, God, I hate Holiday Inns. Every room in Holiday Inn smells, unless it's a new Holiday Inn, and even they all smell of cigarette smoke. Even, like, the non-smoking rooms smell like cigarette smoke. I think it's just because they're an old chain, and, you know, old habits die hard, and old Holiday Inn type people will stay in a non-smoking room and will smoke there anyway. So, there you go. But yeah, so like the internet hotels, like here are basic requirements. It would be nice if you got some good food nearby. It really would be nice. I'm going to want to stay there like 2 or 3 days. So, Scott, I got to be able to get some exercise. And, you know, by the way, you got to be really flexible about cleaning the room, like when you're going to do it, because I might be working, right? And I gotta have a really, really good net connection. Like, none of this crap about, like, oh, you know, the internet just went down. Because it's gotta be like a telephone. It's gotta be basically, you know, 24/7 that I can always get online and it's really fast. And you know what? I'll pay a premium. You know, we can, like, double your rates. Because a lot of these, like, cheap hotels with bed and breakfasts, you know, bed and breakfast would be fine. Totally fine. And in fact, you know what? Something... it would be okay even if the bed and breakfast had a sort of communal computer room. But don't give me a computer. See, this is a mistake a lot of these places still some of them make. Although, mostly, these are getting weeded out. they have this idea that, oh, we need to provide you with a computer. Well, no, you don't. I carry a laptop with me, and I don't need your computer, okay? So, like, don't give me a computer. I'm fine. I got my computer. But give me, you know, a communal room where, basically, but everybody's got to, like, be quiet in that room. This is a quiet room. Or you're allowed to giggle while you're typing, you know? You're allowed to make a little bit of noise, and you got to be able to give me, like, a Diet Coke or something. But no smoking in this communal room. And it doesn't have to be that big. I don't need a lot of space. What I need is a place for a laptop and a mouse pad. And, you know, I'll wear my headphones so I can listen to some music if I want to or whatever, you know. But, yeah, that would be okay, too. So, but a directory. And that way what I could do is, like, plan my trip, my day out. Like, you know, if I'm going to drive, you know, 5 hours a day, I can sort of, like, take my compass out and figure out, okay, well, how far can I go? And is there, like, a cool internet resort? You know, and then I'll just go to the town where the cool internet resort is, you know? And that's coming. That day's coming. Although, yeah, it's going to come because it's still a lifestyle thing. A little Delaware River we're crossing now. Wow, is that pretty. There's a guy behind me. I think I better pull over. Let him pass me. Yeah, it's going to, I mean, you'd say, well, okay, fine. You know, it's like saying, oh, we're coming in now to the town of Delhi. But time sure does fly when you're doing a podcast. So, yeah, they'd say, well, you know, every hotel has a telephone, right? And frankly, who needs it? Because we all got cell phones now anyway. But it's not the same thing because it's a lifestyle thing. You don't go to a telephone resort. You don't go to a place where, oh, I can use a telephone, because using a telephone isn't something that you need, like, special, you know, you don't need, like, it's not going to take me, like, I'm not going to write code on a telephone, you know. I'm not going to, like, you know, do a new release of my software. See, the cool thing is that it's nice to be able to check into a really interesting, comfortable, new, interesting place and new scenery and whatever, and then do the work that you can, like, do anywhere in the world. It's like, you know, people get it wrong. They say, well, you know, you come to this beautiful place and what do? You work there. No, what I do is I have a lifestyle that lets me be wherever I want to and still be able to do my work, right? So I'm on vacation in your sense of the word. I'm on vacation, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours every day, you know, 52 weeks a year, whatever, you know. It's a new lifestyle. Anyway. Maybe nobody else wants to do this. Maybe it's like a ridiculous idea, but, you know, maybe people do want to do it. I don't know. What do you think? You want to do it? Let me know. Anyway, I bet this has been 40 minutes. It sort of feels like it. I wonder what's playing on the, here. Oh, God. Is that terrible? It's Carly. I knew. See, I know who that. I was around in 1974, so if something was a big hit in 74, you know, I know it. That's Carly Simon and James Taylor singing Mockingbird, you know, and the trick was, hey, these guys were married, and they're so in love, aren't they cute, you know? But, frankly, they really didn't belong together. I mean, James Taylor is sort of this soulful, goyish guy, you know, shiksa almost. You know, he's kind of sad. He's the walking man, right? And Carly Simon is the Jewish, you know, princess. Literally. I mean, not literally. I hate it when people say that literally, and it isn't literally true. She's not literally a princess, but her father, like, was super rich or something, and, you know, she's super, super, super Jewish. Nothing wrong with that, of course, right? But you know, It wasn't like a marriage made in heaven. It was sort of like, oh, well, you know, this ain't going to work. It's weird that they think it's going to work, but it totally didn't. Yeah, but they were both singers, and of course, you know, being singers, they had to sing. So there you go. I'm sorry, but this is going to be the way we're going to have to go out on this particular weird note. It's, 44 minutes. Pretty good, Dave. So, this is Morning Coffee Notes. Let me see if I can figure out, actually, I don't know what today, let's see, I gotta know what today's date is. Let's go set date and time. Yeah. So today is, it is the 30th of July, 2005, and this is Morning Coffee Notes. And from Wolfman Jack and Carly Simon and James Taylor, wish you all a great summer, and we'll be doing another one of these real soon, okay? and hang in there, and don't take any wooden nickels, and let's have fun, okay?
Bye-bye.